the verses responsively. And I read the first verse, and then you come in and read the second one, and so on, all the way down to verse 12. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden treasures of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potter strive with the potters of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou, or thy work? He has no hands. Woe unto him that says unto his father, What begattest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou broughtest forth? Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my son, and concerning the work of my hands command you me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Let us pray at this time. Lord, we thank you again for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us to be in church this morning. And dear God, we do pray, Lord, again for Brother Thomas this morning. We do pray a special prayer for him, that you have mercy upon him this morning with his health. Our dear missionary friend is supposed to be here this morning. Pray you help him. And God, we pray that you please bless our pastor. May you give him strength this morning. May you heal his body also. And may you give him power, Lord, to preach thy word. May you fill him the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, open our hearts and our mind and receive what you have for us this morning. And may you get the glory and praise from it all. And we ask these things in Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Of all my faults and my failures, I considered all the times I've let God down. I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercies I found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come before His throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty, I stand redeemed. Even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but I can come before Him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand before the great I Am. when he looks at me, he sees nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Isaiah in chapter 45. Such an encouraging song. Appreciate it so much. Isaiah chapter 45. If you turn there in your Bible. Hope you have an old King James Bible there. All right. And maybe you can share with somebody if they need a Bible. I'll look on with you. Isaiah chapter 45. All right. Like I said, just bear with me. I got a cold this morning. And you just excuse me and just bear with me. I appreciate it so much. You pray for me. Isaiah chapter 45. 45. What you look at here in verse 11, underline it and put a star by it, if you will, in verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Now I want you to underline this and highlight it, if you will. Look what he said. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Now I want you to underline this, please. Command ye me. I want you to put a star by it, if you will. Which says, ask me of things. And the latter part of that verse, where it says, command ye me. In other words, he says, you give me the command. He says, I want you to ask. And not only do I want you to ask, but I want you to command me. We're going to talk about that this morning. Ask and give God the command. Let's pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, we pray that you help each one here in a special way. I ask that you would help us to take advantage of this great invitation. No doubt there's a God in heaven, and you're the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You want us to ask and you want us to give the command. And I pray that after this sermon, dear Lord, there'll be so many answers of prayer. So many things will get done. That you get the glory and the praise. And that people will be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Several things in this chapter I want you to see. And we'll talk about this asking and giving God the command. But I want you to see in verse 12, the mighty God that we serve. In the verse 12, I have made the earth. Look what God says. I've made the earth in verse 12. I made the earth and created man upon it. Look at verse 12. I even, my hands, have stretched out the heavens. And all their hosts have I commanded. What a mighty God. A mighty God. Look at here in verse 18. Look at verse 18. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there's none else. And I want you to see this, what he's saying here. He's saying, I've got the whole earth in my hands. I want you to ask. I'm the creator of it all. I want you to command me. I established that. I created it. I formed it. There's nobody else. Ask of me. And by the way, we serve a jealous God. We serve a righteous God, a holy God. And he's jealous, of course. He loves us. He don't want us to bow to any other God and worship any other God and idolatry and all that. And there's only one true God. That's Jesus Christ. Lord, the Holy One of Israel, we're talking about. Look at verse 21. Amen. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? Look at verse 21. And there is no God. Underline this. There is no God. It's amazing. I want you to put a star by it. Think about it. what he's trying to say here. There's none beside me. Look what he said in here. There's no God else beside me. There's no God else beside me. Verse 21. Look at verse 21. A just God and a what? Say it. Savior. There is none beside who? Me. Look at verse 22. Look unto who? Me. And be what? Saved. All the ends of the earth. For I'm God. There's none else. So this proves that Jesus Christ is God. In Colossians chapter 1, you see that Jesus Christ created it all. He created everything. Without him was nothing made. John chapter 1. And we realize in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. God became flesh. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this proves to us there's none other God. There's none. Jesus, listen, Jesus is the only true God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this morning, the Creator is saying, look, ask me. I don't want you to ask Buddha. I don't want you to ask Allah. I don't want you hear Krishna. Any other God. I want you to worship me. And by the way, the Bible says at the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation to any other but by the name of Jesus Christ. So our text says in verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask of me of things to come. So this morning the message is ask me. Ask Jesus. Give Jesus the command. Ask him. Matthew chapter 7. I want you to turn there if you will. You got Matthew chapter 7. This transformed my life when I was in high school at the age of 18. I'll tell you, there's a verse that really got a hold of my heart to help me. It's here in Matthew 7. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to look at here, if you will, in verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Look at what Jesus said. Ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek, and you shall what? Fine. Knock, and it shall be what? Open unto you. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. This transformed my life. The God of the universe, the Holy One of Israel, the one that created everything, has asked me to ask him, to command him, to tell him to do what he's commanded us to do, to pray, and to depend upon him. Ask of me, he said. Ask of me and command you me, he said. And I will respond. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that you ask him and you keep asking and you keep seeking and you shall find and you knock and it will be open unto you. What a great blessing that the creator of the universe, the one that made the rose, the one that made the daffodil, the one that made the lily, the one that made the mountains, the one that made all the creatures, the one that made the sun, the star, and the moon, and the sky, the God in heaven says, ask of me, command ye me. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So in other words, do it, Lord. You said you would do it. You cannot lie, and God cannot lie. You have every right to say, God, you said you'd do it, now do it. Let the church say amen. Ask. We're talking about ask and give God the command. All through the Bible, we see this in the scriptures. Psalms chapter 3, the importance of praying and asking God. He said, command me. Look at Psalms chapter 3. I want you to turn to Psalms, if you will. Psalms in chapter 3. Psalms chapter 3. And I want you to look at here in verse 7. Psalms chapter 3 and verse 7. Look what he says here. He says, arise, arise, O Lord. Look what he says here. Arise, O Lord, and what? Save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. How you say, preacher, how is it that you can just address God this way? Well, God said, come boldly. God said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help. So he says, arise, O Lord, command ye me. God says, command me. And now the psalmist says, arise, O Lord, save me. O my God. In other words, it's not disrespectful. It's not wrong when God said, command you me. He said, ask and command. God told us to do it. Look at Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. Look what he says here in verse 1. Give ear to my what? Look at verse 1. Give ear to my what? Words, O Lord. Consider my what? Meditation. Listen to the voice of my cry, my King, and my God. For unto thee will I pray. We need some children to ask God. We need some teenagers to ask God. We need some adults. Not only ask, but command God. Not in a disrespectful way. But God, you said that you open unto the windows of heaven. You said that you provide my every need. You said that you will comfort me. You said that you take care of my enemies. We need some children of God with authority to come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, you said it. Now I want you to do it and to pray. Look what he says here. My voice, verse 3, shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer to thee, and I will look up, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. And he's talking to God. In verse 8, he says, lead me. In verse 11, O Lord, in thy righteousness, lead me. Lead me. He says in verse 10, destroy them, his enemies. You see, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we got every right. We got every right to command God. Not in a disrespectful way, not in a wrong way, but there's a God that wants us to command him. Why? So that we can glorify him. We can lift him up and let folks know what he's done for us. And they need to see that this God is alive. And the only way they're going to know he's alive is by our prayers and by God performing the answer of prayers through our life. And we gotta pray. We gotta beg God. We gotta plead with God. And we gotta command. We gotta give God the command to do these things. Look at Psalms chapter 17. Look at Psalms chapter 17, if you will. Psalms chapter 17. Look at here. Look what he says here in verse 1. Look at here, verse 1. Look what he says. Look at verse 1. Hear the right. Look at Psalm 17, verse 1. Hear the right. Hear the right, O Lord. Look at verse 1. Attend unto my what? Cry. Give ear to my what? Prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah, we just read here in our text that God says, command ye me. Hear me. God, you said you'd do it. Now, God, answer my prayer. I'm coming to you. I'm trusting you. I'm believing in you. And trust the Lord to do great things. Psalms chapter 25. Look at Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25. Turn to Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25. Look at what it says in verse 4. Look at verse 4. He says what? Show me thy what? Show me thy what? Ways, O Lord, and what? Teach me thy what? Teach me thy paths. Look at that in your Bible. Look what he says in verse 5. Lead me in thy what? Lead me in thy truth and what? Teach me. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we need to realize that there's a God in heaven that wants us to respond to his invitation. Now go back to Isaiah. Go back to our text in Isaiah. We started off in Isaiah. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Turn to Isaiah, if you will. Chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 45. Look what he says here. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, verse 11, and his maker. What did he say? Our text? Ask of who? Ask of me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Now the line is, command ye what? Command ye me. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you understand that? Let me tell you something. According to the Bible, there's a God in heaven that says what's mine is yours. And I want you to ask, and I want you to give the command. I want you to think about the prodigal son. I want you to think about when he came home. And I want you to think about the brother that said, why are we giving this party? Why are we celebrating? And his father said, son, all that I have is yours. You ought to be rejoicing and praising God, your brother's back. But I want you to think about what he said. All that is mine is thine. God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Some of you need to leave here and say, I'm rich, I'm wealthy. Some of you need to realize that, let me tell you something, you're children of God, you're born again in the family of God. And Ephesians chapter 1 says you have an inheritance. And I'm talking about inheritance in heaven. And Peter talks about an inheritance incorruptible. And there's mansions in heaven, streets of gold. In John 14, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I've told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. There's mansions in heaven. There's streets of gold. You're a child of the King. He owns all the parking lots. He owns all the houses. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And my God said, ask. And he says, command ye me. He owns the banks. He owns the money. I'm saying there's a God in heaven that says, command ye me. Command, ask anything in my name. I'll do it, Jesus said. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So we need some people that says, God, you said you're going to do it. Now do it. Pay my college bill. Do it. Pay my mortgage. Do it. I'm not talking about being disrespectful. I'm not talking about being mean. There's a God in heaven that says, I cannot lie. Now ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. And knock and shall be opened unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, you serve a God that divided the Red Sea. You serve a God that fed the millions of Jews in the wilderness. You serve a God that raised the dead, healed the blind, healed the sick, that owns all the gold. He said, the gold is mine. The silver is mine. Amen. Command ye me. Heal me, Lord. Heal me. Amen. I'm not talking about being disrespectful. And I know you don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to be disrespectful. But God has said, ask me. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn to Hebrews. Just ignore, friends. Just ignore. And get into the Word. Don't let nothing distract you, okay? Okay, friends? You know how the devil is, how he wants to distract you, okay? Don't let the devil distract you this morning, okay, friends? Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Look at here, if you will, verse 15, for we are not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the what? The throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly. Let us come boldly, not timidly. And I'm not talking about being disrespectful. God knows that's not what he's talking about. But you have every right to come boldly. Do you know who you are? You're a child of the King. Do you know who you are? You're washed by the blood. You're sanctified. You're justified. Let me tell you something. You are God's child. And God said, I want you to command me. Why? Why is God saying this? Why does God want you to command him? Why did God want you to ask? I'm telling you the reason why. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be magnified. Now, I thought about this week. Would you look up at me, children, teenagers, young people? Would you look up at me? Why does God want to be glorified? You adults, think about this question. Listen, for His glory, for His honor, right? Whatsoever we do and we're to do, do all to the what? Think about this. We're created for His pleasure. Really. We can start thinking wrong. That's kind of selfish. To be glorified, that's kind of selfish. If you look at it the wrong way, of course. But God wants to be glorified not for a selfish reason. If he was glorified, you'll see how great he is. And he can save you from hell. You'll see how great he is. And he can give you heaven. You'll see how great he is. You'll see how much he loved and gave his son on the cross. You'll see how great he is. Raising himself up from the dead, and you realize that he is God, and what God can do for you, he can give you a wonderful wife, he can give you a wonderful husband, he can give you wonderful children, he can give you a wonderful, whatever he is, he can give you a home, he can give you a car, he can give you a job, whatever you want, there's peace, there's joy, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold is his, the silver is his, it's all his, the universe is his. I know some of you, take you down the Golden Corral. You would like to eat there by yourself and nobody there. You eat it all by yourself. But God's not that way. God says, I have so much. I want to glorify my... Ask. You command me in Jesus' name. Command me. And I will answer your prayer. You go in and ask and say, God, you said it. You said it. Amen. You said it. Malachi, you know what it says in chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. You know he said, I'll open your windows of heaven. Prove me. Well, let's look at it. Somebody looked at it a long time. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Turn to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Look what he said in verse 10. Look what he said in verse 10. He said, bring ye all the what? Tithes into the what? Into the storehouse, that there may be what? Meat in my what? House. And prove me now, here what saith the Lord of hosts, if I will what? Not open unto you the what? Windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not what? To receive it. And I will what? Rebuke the what? Devour for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your what? Ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So God says, bring it. God says, bring the tithes and offerings. God says, I open unto you the windows of heaven. In other words, I'm trying to tell you, you have every right. You're not being disrespectful. You're not being rude. I'm talking about you that tithe. I'm talking about you that give. I'm talking about you that serve God. I'm talking about you that love God. You have every right. Are you listening? Are you listening? You have every right. You have every right. You have every right to say, God, now do it. Bless my business. Make me a millionaire. Do it. Do it. Russell Anderson, I listened to a sermon in his 80s. He's preaching. Russell Anderson didn't even graduate from college. Didn't even graduate from high school. Yet started a business. And God touched that business. And he's a multi-millionaire. And he stayed faithful in church. To this day, he's faithful in church. He doesn't skip church. I said, he tithes, he gives offerings to the church. Hiles Anderson College, where my daughter Joy is there today, or Danny is there, and Sister Camille Werdu is there, your daughter. Hiles Anderson, Russell Anderson. Hey, you know what? Know what he said? He said, I'd rather my daughters not have an education, not even have an education, if the education would take them away from church. If the education would take them away from serving God. He said, I'd rather for them not even graduate from high school. And this is what he said, get an education. And I'm proud of you to have an education. But what good is an education if you don't have the peace and the joy and the blessing of God Almighty? I want you to be able to get things from God. I want God to bless you with peace and with joy. I said the wicked people got nice houses. The wicked people got nice cars. The wicked people got millions of money. Millions of dollars. Millions and millions of money. They got millions and billions. But they're miserable. And you can't buy peace and joy. You have every right. Say, God, you told me to ask. Now you bless my business. You make me a millionaire. I ain't got time. If I was some of y'all, I'd be a millionaire. Really, I'd be a millionaire. I ain't got time. You got time. I'm too into pastoring. I'm too much into pastoring. I'm here. I'm trying to bury your dead. I'm trying to marry you young. Bury you old. I'm trying to counsel you, help you to marry, to make the right choice in marriage, and trying to cause you not to have a divorce, and I'm trying to heal the sick and raise the dead, or whatever. I am caught up in the ministry, but some of you have time to be a millionaire and be faithful. By the way, Russell Anderson proves you can be a millionaire and be faithful to church. Russell Anderson did not skip Sunday night like some of you do. Russell Anderson did not skip Sunday school like some of you do. Russell Anderson does not skip soul winning like some of you do. Now, I'm not kicking you. Don't think I'm kicking you. I'm trying to help you to be a millionaire. I'm trying to help you to see God's blessings on your life. There is no shortcuts. The best thing you could do, be like Russell Anderson and ask God and give God the command. Russell Anderson asked God and gave God the command. He looked at all these negotiations. He looked at all these different houses that he was buying and people trying to buy him out. He looked at them as enemies. And he got the profit. And he got the wealth. And he bought them out. He said, God, now you take care of it. I've tithed. I've given. I've been faithful to the church. I ain't scolded anybody here today. This pastor loves you. I'm not getting on any of you. This pastor loves you. I just want you to be able to get and ask and give God the command. And I want you to be able to get the things in life that you can get. I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend. I'm saying you have every right to say good night. Here I am serving God, driving a bus, teaching a class, trying to strive to live right and pray and tithe and give. Now respond to me and give God the command and ask. That's all I'm saying. You have every right to say I tithe, I give. I'm faithful in church. I serve God. To be like Russell Anderson and say, God, you told me to give you the command. Now do it. Do it. I have this need. Now do it. We need some people to be able to talk to God that way. We need some people to get bold. I want you to be able to get whatever is on your heart. What do you want God to do? My God can answer your prayer. I hope and pray that you would get this message and run with it and spend time alone with God and pray. All of our failures are prayer failures. We need somebody to ask God and talk with God. Spend some time with the Lord alone with God. He said he'll see you in secret, reward you openly. The God that made your ears wants you to talk to him. The God that made your eyes, he wants to see you praying. I'll tell you what's amazing. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6. What amazes me about this scripture. I want you to turn there. Here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut the door, pray to the Father which what? In secret. And the Father which what? And the Father which what? It doesn't say here's in secret. What does it say? The Father was what? My God sees you. My God sees you. And he watches you and me. And he says, command me. Ask. And he sees us give it. He sees us say, God, you told me to give the command. And the reason why you want me to give the command is you want to show yourself great. You want to be glorified and magnified. And when God's magnified and glorified, he can do more for people. When God answers my prayer, he answers your prayer, you make him big, and other people get their prayers answered. Can I say this? That God takes joy and excitement and responding with mercy and grace. It's a thrill to him to do the impossible. God enjoys it. You know, to save a thief on the cross, his power, to save Apostle Paul, his mighty power, to see how great he is, and see his grace and mercy in David's life and Solomon's life and all these people that prayed in Jacob's life and so many lives. And I look at the people in this church and I watch how God answered your prayer. I watch how God provided for you. And sometimes God even has even did it to the same dollar and cent when people ask them and the same dollar and the cent to the penny. I mean, God has responded. Everything they prayed for and everything that they asked God for, it came through. And what I'm trying to tell you, there is a God in heaven. Let me tell you something. He wants to do more exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's a God that says, command me, ask me. It's real. God does answer prayer. And I want you to get all that God has for you. I want you to be on the good side of God. I want the Lord to do the miracles he wants to do. But he cannot do them, the miracles, unless we do our part. Give me about 2 minutes. God cannot open the windows of heaven unless we do our part. God cannot open the windows of heaven unless we do our part. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Hey, God cannot do his part if we don't do our part. He cannot open the windows of heaven for us. He cannot remove the curse. We got to do our part. We got to tithe. We got to give. We got to serve God. We got to give God the command. And say, God, you said command me. Command, you said command me. I'm command. You said you do it. Now, what is that you're asking God for? You have every right. You're walking uprightly. No, my Bible tells you. Those that walk uprightly, he won't withhold one good thing from them. So keep on asking until he's coming. It's coming. Keep on seeking. It's coming. Keep on knocking. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. But don't you ever stop praying until it comes. Because you have every right. You have every. Listen to me. I'm so proud of you. You're on your way. Hey, I'm proud of you. You're here. Okay? You're here. That's a start. Let's get back tonight. That's a start. Let's get to Sunday school. I'm proud of you being here. This is a start. What about reading your Bible and praying each day? This is a start. What about going soul winning? What about serving God? Everybody can serve God. Drive a bus. Drive a van. Amen. Get God's attention. Clean the building. Do something. Everybody can do something for God. And when you're serving God and you turned away from that which is wicked and evil, you have every right to say, God, I'm commanding you now. I'm commanding you now. This is what you said you do. Now do it. You'll confess your sin. Amen. And by the way, there's no sin worth God shutting the windows of heaven for. No sin's worth him shutting the windows of heaven for you. You want him to open up the windows of heaven. Confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Let me say 1 John 1, 8, 9, and 10. 1 John 1, 8, 9, and 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. Okay? Hey, confess your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Get a cleansing. And good night. Serve God. And you give God the command. Give him the command. Ask him. Say, God, you told me to ask and give you a command. I'm waiting for you to do it. Come on, you can't lie. Come on, God, you can't lie. You can't lie. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a while. Can't lie. You can't lie. God can't lie. What is it that you want to get from God? What is it that you want to get from God? What is it? He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. It's good. He gives desires your heart. Heads about, eyes are closed. How many know you're going to heaven? How many are sure you're going to heaven? How many 100% sure you're going to heaven? Thank you. Put your hand out. Thank you. Put your hand out. Who's here would say, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. Who does not know you're going to heaven? You're not sure you're going to heaven.